continue. Once again, welcome to Christ Central Church. My name is Joe Crummy. Great to have you here this morning. And once again, happy Mother's Day to all of our moms and grandmothers and our spiritual moms. We're so thankful for you. So thank you for being with us. And thanks again for those joining online. As Emma said, we're still midway through, or well, hopefully maybe three quarters of the way through our renovations. So here's what I need your help with this morning, okay? We've had some walls come down, literally, and which is a good thing, but it is going to be a bit noisier this morning. So if you're at the back, and if you get distracted at all, because we love our kids, so they're going to keep making noise, and we're okay with that, there is lots of room here at the front, okay? So you have an open invitation. If you need to come forward, then please go ahead and do that, and thank you again for your patience over these last 6 months as we've had to have a lot of different changes. We're grateful for you adapting to that. Okay, well, this morning I just want to start with a question, and I need your help with this one. Can any of you share maybe an event or a situation that you were in that maybe you gave a shout, or maybe you danced, or you clapped, or you did something that maybe isn't quite normal for you? Maybe isn't in your natural thing. Penny. That is not the answer I was expecting. That is the way to go out. So in case you didn't hear that, and for those on, sorry, Penny, keep going. Wow. So in case you didn't hear that, Penny's just sharing. Was that your sister? Penny's sister, just before she died, is saying she's going to dance with Jesus. And that, and she went. Hallelujah. I mean, that is, you kind of went to the end of my message, Penny, but right on. Way to start with that. Again, when you ask these questions, you never know what you're going to get. But I like that one, Penny. Anyone else? Any situation? When you ate what? When you ate food for the first time, did you let out a hallelujah? I love it. Anyone else? Can you think of a situation? What sort of context would we maybe get excited about that we don't maybe normally express emotion? Help me out here, folks. Shout it out. Betty, shout it out. First time you spoke in a spiritual language. Isn't that exciting? That's awesome. You guys are like going like spiritual answers on me. I love it. That wasn't what I was expecting. Here's what I was expecting. I was expecting my team won a game, and I was so excited. I was expecting I was at a wedding. I won an award. Like, I was excited. I was at, even sometimes when we're singing the national anthem, you kind of feel like some goosebumps. You're like, okay, I'm going to sing louder than I normally do. That was just some helpful hints of kind of what I was going for. But thank you for jumping right in. Well, this morning we're going to touch on some of these things as we look at God's Word. And just a quick review. We've been going through this book of Joshua in the Old Testament, and we've been looking at how God's people were in the wilderness, and God promised them a promised land. And God was going to take them into the promised land. And he's saying, I want to establish a people on earth where my presence dwells, that these people are a witness to the rest of the world of what it is to be in relationship with the living God. And God's been taking them on that journey. But what we saw is this. There are all kinds of obstacles in the way. There's all kinds of battles to fight. And we saw one from a couple weeks ago. They had to cross this Jordan River at flood season, and God miraculously provided for them. And last week, Mark was speaking from Joshua chapter 5, and he was talking about how God is concerned about physical things, but God's more concerned about our hearts. And just as they were physically getting ready for some of the things that were coming, God took a time out, didn't he? And said, I want to get some things sorted out with your heart and being set apart for me and what it is to know God. And God was concerned about the spiritual preparation. Now, most of the application we're going to get in our day and spiritual application. Thankfully, we don't live in a context where we're physically at war with people. So some of the things we're going to take, it's sort of like what we saw in the Old Testament was actually happening in a physical way. We're taking more in the spiritual way. Because whether you know it or not, folks, we're in a spiritual battle. So everything I'm going to share this morning applies to every single one of us. So this isn't just for, we're going to talk some things about worship. This isn't just for the worship leaders up here. It's not just for musicians. Folks, it's for every single one of us. And so I just, now some of you, you already know the answer, but maybe some of you think this doesn't apply to you. Do you realize that you're in a spiritual battle, even if you don't think you're in a spiritual battle? So Jesus, when he was on planet Earth in John chapter 10, he said this. Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd, and he says, look, I've come to give life, abundant life, eternal life. And he said this, the enemy of the devil, who's real, has come to rob, kill, and destroy. So just as an aside, as a pastor, I talk to many people. I talk to people even this weekend at a volleyball tournament. When they find out I'm a pastor, sometimes you get some weird responses. And a lot of times I get all the reasons why they don't believe in God. And I talked to a gentleman, and one of his main reasons he talked about, he'd been in different parts of the world, he'd been in war zones, and he said, I've seen the evil of men, and that proves to me that there is no God. And a very genuine, I'm at a volleyball tournament, I wasn't expecting this deep conversation. And I said to him, look, I'm sorry, but I said, you know what that proves? It proves that we have a real devil. That we have a real Satan who wants to rob, kill, and destroy. And folks, there's a spiritual battle for your life, whether you know it or not. And some of you know it. You know you're in it. And folks, our enemy is a terrorist. He doesn't play by the rules. It's insidious. But folks, there's a battle for your life. And here's what I don't want you to miss out on this morning, is God has given us tools. He's given us weapons to fight the spiritual battle. But they're not man-made. They don't always make as much sense. God, Mark talked about some of those last week. God's ways aren't our ways. And what, folks, one of the ways God, we talked about a couple weeks, one of the tools God gives us in this spiritual battle is to be a thankful people. So we talked about it. When they crossed the Jordan, remember, God said, take 12 stones. I want you to set them as a memorial. And when everyone asks, what are those 12 stones there for? You're to remember and you're to remind people of God's faithfulness. God made a way. And we're to be a thankful people. And a lot of our songs and what we do as a church family, what are we doing? We're saying thanksgiving all the time. We're being thankful. We're singing the songs this morning. God, we thank you. That's one of the weapons God has given to us to overcome spiritual battles. We're to be a thankful people. We're going to learn a second one today. And so we're going to look at this, that God gives us weapons. And one of another key tools, and I don't want you to miss it, and we say it, and Gary Tolley says it more than anyone, worship is our weapon. Worship is our weapon. So let's take a look at Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to read this out together. And so the words are going to be up on the screen here in a moment. And it's quite a long one, so I'm going to read it this time, okay? A lot of times I get you to read it, but it's a bit, I'm going to read it, and you guys can follow along, okay? So here we go, Joshua chapter 6. So this is after they crossed the Jordan. They've had some preparation spiritually, physically, and here we go. We read this. Now the gates of Jericho, so that's a big city, were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. Can you picture that in your mind? When you hear them, sound a long blast of the trumpets. Have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance! March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So we had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they encircled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she had hid the spies we sent." Right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. "But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it." We're going to talk about that next week. "All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." So the first thing we want to look at as we talk about worship being our weapon is this, is that God's presence is central to our worship. God's presence is central to our worship. So you saw, just as we were there, they took the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized, not to symbolize, it was the presence of God. And the Ark was right in the middle of all of their marching. So they had a whole group go before it, Ark in the middle, and a whole group behind it. God's presence was central in their worship. In the Old Testament, we see that. The Ark, Tabernacle, Temple. Central to their worship. Powerful. So here's what I want us to take a look at, is that very briefly, we see that this, God's presence with his people is the theme of the Bible. So from the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve, and he dwelt with Adam and Eve. They knew God. They spoke with God. And of course, we see that sin destroyed that and the whole redemption process. But if we go all the way to the book of Revelation, we see this. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down. And guess what? It says this, God dwells with his people. And there's no need for a temple. There's no need for the sun and the moon, because God's glory is going to light up this new city. God dwelling with his people is such a key theme. Now, here's what I want us to take a look at, is that when we talk about worship, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. We're not talking about a formula. So sometimes I hear people say, if we do this and we do this, God will show up. Now, sometimes that comes from a good heart. But if we just do this, if we sing the right song, if we do right this, God will show up. Folks, here's what we need to realize. God's already here. So we've heard Dave Sully talk about this a lot. We have to understand God's presence. Okay, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. And honestly, folks, so Psalm 139, David writes, a powerful psalm, good one for Mother's Day, but he says this, you know, God, where can I go from your presence? If I go up in the sky, you're there. If I go down in the depths, you're there. I can't escape from your presence. God, you are everywhere. So that's a key thing to understand. Most of the time, folks, to be honest, we have to wake up to God's presence. God's already here. So we're coming and like, oh man, how can I get God's presence? How can I get God to show up? A lot of time it's, how do I prepare myself? Because God's already here. Jesus said this, the Father is seeking worshipers. You hear that? The Father is seeking worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. Folks, God is here and he's looking for us. He wants to meet with us. Which leads to the second thing. We have God's omnipresence, and we have this, we have God's, what Dave Felly helps us say this, it's God's realized presence. We just know that God's real. And in Acts 17, and I was reading this when I sent it to Gab is in Athens, and he's speaking to the people, and he'd gone around the city, and he had seen even these inscriptions that said, to an unknown God. They were a very spiritual people. And folks, we live in a very spiritual world. And Paul says, I'm going to help explain who you don't know. You're being spiritual, but I'm going to unpack who God is. And Paul begins to say, God made the heavens and the earth. He made the rain, the sun, moon, everything. And God did all that because he desires that you would reach out to him and know him. That's the paraphrase version. And it says that God put you in this century, this decade, this year. He even puts you in your neighborhoods, it says. And we're praying for the right neighborhood for Gabby and Santiago as they move to Dartmouth. Folks, God's real. And a lot of times, God begins to wake us up. And we begin to realize, oh, my soul, God, like, there's a God. And it's not just something spiritual. God's a real being. And we have this awareness, and we begin to realize God's real. And we begin to realize with the good news of the gospel, and as Mark said last week, a lot of the weapons that God gives us, they really are foolishness from a worldly point of view. And the biggest foolishness of them all, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, is the foolishness of the cross. And God says, if you want to get to know me, then you come through my son Jesus. And when Jesus is here on earth, he would say things like in John 14:6, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If anyone wants to get to the Father, you must come through me. And that gets a negative rap because you're like, oh, there's only one way. Hallelujah! There's at least one way to get to God. It's the flip side. You can say, well, that's kind of being judgmental and, you know, kind of constrictive. Only one way to God. Hallelujah! God made a way that we can get to God through his son Jesus. How merciful and kind is God? And God, through the foolishness of the cross, that's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 12, he said, it's foolishness if you don't get it. It's foolishness that you would have to get to God through Jesus, and Jesus came, and he talked about the presence of God amongst us, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, born of a virgin, planet Earth, God, tabernacling, God with us. And it says, he went to the cross. Foolishness. He who was perfect, lived a perfect life. God himself died on a cross. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. And because of sin, we disobey God, when we ignore God, when we're prideful, when we rebel against God, it separates us from God. And the only way to get reconciled back to God is through what Jesus has done on the cross. And if you don't understand it, it's foolishness. But Paul says, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God for salvation, because we can't get any credit or glory, or we can't brag about it. I worked so hard and I got to God. I did so much and God loved me because of all the things I've done. No. We come and we say, God, I humble myself. I turn from it. God, there's nothing I can do to get to you on my own merit, on my own strength, on my own track record, on my own good works, on my own achievements, on my own performance. God, I humble myself at the foot of the cross, and I say, Jesus, you made a way. You took my sin upon you. You granted forgiveness. All the guilt, shame, everything that was on me is put on Jesus, and you give me right standing with God, and you lift my head, and you give me sonship, and you put your spirit within me, and you allow me to know God as Abba, Father. Foolishness. If you don't understand it, it's the power of God for salvation. That's how we get to know God. And then that journey goes on. And as we understand that, what we're really speaking is the manifest presence of God. So we have God's everywhere. We begin to wake up to realize God's real. We can have a relationship with him. And then God's manifest presence of God. We see it in the Old Testament. Solomon dedicated the temple to God. They built this temple for God to dwell. And God's even saying, you know what? I don't really dwell in temples made by humans, but I'm going to come and be with you even though I'm everywhere. And when his glory, when his presence filled that temple, whew, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. It was like God's manifest presence. Like, there's no denying. Like, people were flat on the ground. They couldn't. They had to stop what they're doing because God's hands tangible presence was real. And folks, at times, we experience that, don't we? So sometimes, and it happens in different settings, sometimes we can be on our own just with God, and sometimes we can just know that tangible, manifest presence of God. And all of a sudden, doubt and fear, unbelief, all fades away. Even sometimes this is just a glimmer. Sometimes in our worship times together, we have that. We can come in, and I'm telling you, I'm just saying, this probably isn't you at all, but sometimes it's me. Even though I try to get my head and heart in a good place, and I come on Sunday morning, sometimes we're just not in a good spot. And sometimes, we're kind of mouthing the words, we're kind of going through the motions, and then sometimes, boom, you're just like, you're made aware of the manifest presence of God. And a lot of times for me, it's tears, and you wake up to the reality of like, God, like 30 seconds ago, I'm kind of like, blah. And now, like, oh my soul, God is here. And it helps in our worship to God. We glorify God. And guess what? In the manifest presence of God, we're changed in God's presence. And all of a sudden, God does a realignment of our priorities and our values and our circumstances and everything, that we line up and say, God, you're in control and I'm trusting you. Folks, when we talk about worship, I'm going to explain a bit more, but just one of the key things is it's really not about us. It's about God's presence. It's about glorifying, giving God praise, and his presence is key. So I just want us to be aware of that. I want you to understand why we do the things we do as a church. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we gather here on Sunday morning? And why do we spend 45, 50 minutes? Seems like a long time sometimes. Why do we do that? Because God is worthy of our praise. God's worth it. And it's about his presence. The second thing that's central to our worship is this. Proclamation is central. When we shout, when we speak, when we sing. So folks, let me just do a quick briefing here. We use the word worship. You see the word worship in your English Bible. I'm not sure about Spanish or Swahili or any other language, but at least in the English language, the word worship gets used a lot in the Bible. But in Hebrew and in Greek, it means a whole lot of different things, and we just have one word for it. So I won't go through them all today, but in the Old Testament, there's at least 13 different words using to describe worship that just get translated like praise or worship in English, and at least 5 Greek ones in the New Testament that the same thing. So, when I'm going to dial down and drill down into a few things, let me just first say this. One of the words in the New Testament for worship, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul writes this, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So let's just say this right off the top. Worship is the whole of our lives, 24/7, even when people aren't looking. So it's our motives, it's our words, it's our actions, it's our deeds, it's everything. So we're not just talking about one or two, it's the whole of our lives. And Paul's saying, in view of God's mercy, look what God's done for you in Jesus Christ. Offer your whole life, your everyday life to God. That's your spiritual act of worship. So that encompasses everything, but we're going to drill down. I already mentioned it, John 4:24, and I think Emma even shared this morning. Jesus said, the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. The word there, it's this nearness, it's this intimacy, it's being known by God and knowing God. And that word is to bow down and to kiss. It's a very intimate thing. So worship isn't just, kind of always, it's a very intimate thing, the nearness of God. We have action. So I won't go through them all, and I can't even pronounce them all, but there's different words, Hebrew, to bow down, to celebrate, to give thanks together, to speak out, singing with instruments, rejoice, joy, leaping, dancing, crying out, lament, silence. Those are all, we could spend time on each one of those. But the one I want to focus on today is ruah, which is this, to raise a shout, a cry, to proclaim. So that's that, Joshua said to the people, when you hear the trumpet, you shout. You raise a battle cry. You proclaim. That's the Hebrew word that's being used. And it's used this. This is Psalm 40, verse 9 to 10, I think, which is up there. If you will go to the next slide. We read this. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. So in our worship, proclamation is really key. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to sing out. I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to whisper, but I'm going to shout out. I'm going to proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I'm going to speak of your faithfulness and your salvation. I'm going to raise a shout to proclaim. It's so powerful. Folks, why is it powerful? Because our words matter. Our words matter. James chapter 3, James says this. Our tongue, our lips, our words, it's like a rudder of a big ship. Just a little rudder can turn and it can make a ship go in a whole different direction. He says this, you can use your lips, your tongue for praising God or for cursing men. He says this, our words, our lips, our tongue, says this, a little spark can cause a whole forest fire. So a little bit of gossip can spread like wildfire. Says our words matter. We can use them for negative, we can use them for cursing, and folks, there's power when we speak out negative, ungodly things. It's more than just cursing as a swear word. Okay? Out of our mouth come words that release power. And the opposite is, the good news is this. One whisper to Jesus can change a lot of things. Folks, it's not just going through the motions. As I mentioned, it's not just a formula. We just sing these types of songs and that will get God to show up. That's not what we're going for. But there are principles involved. There's principles of we're going to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. So we're thankful. There are principles to say that I'm going to declare, I'm going to proclaim God's truth. Even if I don't feel like it. And that's some of the songs we were singing this morning. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. Despite my unbelief, I'm choosing, I'm making the decision. Folks, our words matter. The Bible says this, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we believe in God's preaching, we believe in reading God's word. But folks, we also believe this, truth gets spoken when we sing and when we praise God together. When we shout out God's truth. Paul says this in Romans 10. He says, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised them from the dead. Confession, proclaiming, speaking, singing, it's a weapon that God has given to us. And proclamation is key in our weapon, as worship as our weapon. We confess, we speak, there's power in that. Psalm 95, 1 and 2, verse 6. The writer says this, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. You know what extol means? It means talk about all the good things about someone. So I can say Mother's Day today, and I could go on and on and on about Angela on Mother's Day. I'm extolling her virtues. I'm bragging about, I'm telling everyone how. That's what we do about God. We extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Folks, you know what's biblical? We're allowed to shout to God. We're exhorted to. So sometimes people, I get it, some people are like, you know, you're a bit, you know, emotional. You're a bit, you know, why? Folks, we're just trying to follow biblical principles. Now, this is just one aspect. So a biblical principle is to be still and know that God's God. So I'm not saying it's all just shouting all the time. No, we even have that in our worship times, don't we? We're shouting, and then it's like 3 minutes later, it's like silent. And people are kind of like, why are we being quiet? We get it at both extremes. Well, we're just waiting on God. We're being still. It's not either or, you know, it's not one of those. It's both. We can kneel. We can cry. We can have lament. before God. And sometimes we've had that, didn't we? We've had seasons, we've had days where just like, folks, it's a lament today. And a lot of times we have all of these in one 45-minute time together. Folks, worship is our weapon. And as we focus on God's presence, as we proclaim truth about God, who He is, what He's done, what He's going to do, this is what worship is about. First and foremost, it glorifies God. Our praise is for God. It's Godward. Now, here's the great thing. As we do that, it edifies us and each other. You will be built up. It's always a great side effect, but primarily we're here to worship God. So we have to be careful, and I catch myself doing this, even after Sunday, how did I feel the meeting went? Like, well, I kind of like that, I didn't like that, and hey. Folks, honestly, every week, we should be asking God, what did you think of our meeting? That's first and foremost. And secondly, we can learn some things, we can tweak some things, we learn, I'm not saying we can't critique in a good way, but our first thought should be, God, were you welcomed in this place? Were we sensitive to your Holy Spirit? Were you glorified? Were you made known? Were you proclaimed? Were you the center of our worship today? Last thing, worship is our weapon. So it's God's presence, it's proclamation of God. It's being together as God's people is central to our worship. So hear me right off, and we've taught about this a lot. Absolutely, you worship on your own to God. Please hear me. It's both. Absolutely, in your home, two or three are gathered by yourself. So please don't hear that I'm saying you have to be always together. But I'm saying this, it's important to be together as God's people. It's central to our worship. That's got to be a component of it. The priests, the soldiers, they were all, the whole nation was there. They were in it together. In the Old Testament, we had priests and we had prophets, we had kings. New Testament is this, in Christ, we together, we're the priesthood of all believers. We all come together to worship God together. We don't have to go through priests. We don't have to go through a temple. We don't have to go through rituals. We come as followers of Jesus by the Spirit of God, and we come together, and we're the priesthood of all believers. And here's the wonderful thing about it, and this is where I really want you to hear my heart and believe what God's saying. Folks, trust me. I know when we come together, a lot of us are coming and we're battling a lot of battles. So what I don't want you to hear me, this is not what I'm saying. I'm not building hype. I'm not saying you just come and if you just shout out to God, no matter what, God's going to fix all your problems and all of that. He might, but a lot of times, but what I'm saying is when we come together, and this is not a guilt trip, so please, look, folks, we come together. We come, sometimes we've had no sleep. We've got mental illness issues that are real. We're battling depression. We're battling spiritual battles, physical battles, job, family, relational issues, money issues, fear, anxiety, like the list goes on, right? What I'm saying is this. So a lot of times this is what happens. People go, Joe said I'm supposed to come and I'm supposed to shout to God, Joe, I just don't have it in me. I can't do it. And we feel even worse than we did before because now we've just added another layer on of a burden. Folks, please, that's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. As we gather together, there are sometimes I can't sing. And I'll be here at the front. I can't sing. I just don't have it in me. I'm here, but I'm here. But guess what? I hear you singing. I hear you praising God. I hear your prayers. And guess what? Your singing and your prayers become mine. And guess what? The next week, you're in a bad spot, and I'm doing better. And guess what? I'm praising God, and guess what? My prayers and my praise become your praise, and we help each other out. But folks, just being here is winning the biggest battle. some of you watching online, look, we're glad you're here, because some of you are at work and different things. Please, there's no guilt trip here. But I am saying biblically, we are to come together. And there's something powerful when we come together. Folks, we help one another. We bear each other's burdens. And we can come alongside, and sometimes we can't even get a whisper out. But we help one another. And your faith today is going to help my lack of faith. And your belief today is going to help my unbelief. And your energy today is going to help me being drained. And your encouragement today is going to help my discouragement. And your rejoicing today is going to help me in my mourning. And next week, the roles might be completely reversed. And your joy is going to help my sorrow. And you're going to lift my head. And together, we're going to worship God. And some of us are going to be kneeling down in silence, and some of us are going to be just going for God. Folks, that can all coexist all at the same time. What I don't want you to do is just to stay away because you feel like I don't have it today. When you don't have it today, you need to be here more than any other day. It's always a battle. Folks, we're one excuse away from not gathering together every week. Every life group, every prayer meeting, every youth group, whatever you name it. Folks, do you really believe you have an enemy that does not want you to be with other believers? Folks, we're in a battle. You just don't think it's you. Saying, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. No one will know if I'm not there anyway. That's a lie. We're all important. We're all together. And some of you, I know, you might not think, I don't even say anything. I don't even hardly talk to anyone. Just your presence here makes a difference. Paul wrote this, such a powerful voice, in Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. I don't know if we have this one or not, sorry. Paul says this to the Ephesian believers. He says this, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. You know what debauchery is? It's just selfish depravity. So it's just being selfish. You're going to, like, drink your cares away on your own. It's selfish. He says, don't be like that. Instead, be filled, or go on being filled with God's Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, do you hear that? Don't get drunk on wine. Okay, don't find escapism from all your things and other things. Okay, your escape is this. Your escape should be God. It should be Jesus. That's who we should run to. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just one thing that happened 20 years ago. It's every day. God, fill me with your Spirit. And what's the overflow of that? It's together. How can you be filled with the Spirit and do all these things if you're not with other people? How can you sing spiritual songs? How can you sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spirits? That's that proclaiming. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Do you find those themes? Thanksgiving, remembering what God has done. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to whisper it, even if that's all you can get out. Some of us are going to shout it. And folks, here's the grace of God. And this phrase, it can't find it in the Bible, but the principle is there. Folks, we start in the flesh and we come out in God's Spirit. We just start. Even when you don't feel like it, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I don't feel like it. I don't even really want to. But I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm making a decision of the will by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. And folks, it's not just positive thinking. It's speaking truth. I'm choosing to raise a hallelujah. Most of the songs we sang this morning, what's it talking about? I'm in a pit, I'm going to praise God. I'm in the lion's den, I'm going to praise God. Folks, Paul, who wrote this, we read in Acts 16, here he's in prison. They've been beaten for following Jesus. Him and Silas are in a prison. They've been beaten. If there's ever a time to say, I'm tapping out, I'm done. If there's ever a time to say, I'm going to be quiet. If there's ever a time to feel discouraged, depressed, you know, rejected, all those things. And when we read in Acts 16, in prison, what do they start doing? They start praying and they start singing hymns to God. Paul just didn't write this, he lived it out. And there's only two of them, but they were together. Do you understand the words we're singing this morning? You know, sometimes we just got to shout, we got to pray, even in the prison. Do you understand where those songs are written from? It's from God's Word. So folks, if not, do you hear me? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. At the same time, I'm trying to exhort you and encourage you to say, it's biblical, even if we don't feel like it. It's not putting another heavy on you, but I'm just asking to obey God's Word and to speak out God's truth and to be able to proclaim it to one another, something changes. So in closing, my heart is this. God's given us tools in our tool belt. You want to have the right tool for the right job, right? And you're building something. So we've seen so far, God's one of our tools in our tool belt in the spiritual battle is thanksgiving. Remember what God has done. Another tool in the tool belt is this, it's worship. It's being able to proclaim the truth of God. It's being aware of God's presence. It's being together with God's people that we together are going to proclaim truth, and that's going to glorify God, and it's going to build each other up. Folks, that's part of our weapons that God's given to us to overcome and to persevere in these battles. So why don't we stand if we're able? I'll ask the worship team to come. We're going to put into practice what we've just been preaching. But I want to pray for us that God would help us. It's so good. God doesn't just kind of lay a burden on us. He gives us His Spirit to help us. He's the helper. He helps us. So God, I thank You for our church family here this morning, for those watching online, for guests who are here this morning. It's not by accident that You're here. God, we thank You for Your Word that teaches us and instructs us. We thank You that Your presence is here. We thank You for You, Holy Spirit, being here.